I'm Peter Block at TCT 2019 in San Francisco for ACC.org. On my left is Tony DiMario, an old friend from San Diego. Tony and I have done these wrap-ups in the past, and Tony, welcome. It is day two, the end of day two. We have some important clinical trials that came out today. Most interesting, perhaps, or as interesting as others, two new valves, the Portico valve and the Acrit Neo. So let's talk about Portico first off. What are your thoughts on that one?
Sure thing. Well, Portico is a repositional valve, and that would be an advantage, clearly. And the Portico TAVR trial compared it to a Sapien valve that wasn't exactly their latest addition, but it compared very favorably, and in fact, it was one of those non-inferiority studies, Peter. So, that clearly that has some implications, but nevertheless, it was non-inferior to the Sapien. And they did an interesting analysis in terms of after a learning curve, where really the data were superimposable. So suggesting that if there were equivalent experience with the Portico as with the Sapien, that they would be identical.
Yeah, it's a new valve. Everybody has to learn something when they put a new valve in for the first few times. But once that's done, the learning curve seemed relatively short and seemed to be okay. So the Portico makes non-inferiority, no problem at all. The Acrit Neo, a little bit of a different story.
Yeah, Acrit Neo didn't make it. There were a number of problems, primarily prosthetic valve leakage and regurgitation, and so that did not prove to be equivalent, and who knows what will become of the Acrit Neo, but in the SCOPE trial, it just didn't compare favorably.
Yeah, we forgot to mention in the Portico trial, they have a new iteration called the Flex, which is a delivery system. And I don't know the details of that, but it seems as though that Flex will allow them to get around the transverse arch a little bit better. And it seemed as though the outcomes using that system were really better than the original Portico. So, well, it's a moving target, as all new devices are, but promising for the Portico and sort of disappointing for the Acrit Neo.
Right, and it's anticipated that there will be more TAVR valves as time goes by, as the technology gets better and better and better, and it's exciting to see that development.
Yeah, we need some new valves to put on the shelf in any case, right?
Right.
Okay, so that number one. So now we have Partner 3, a sub-study. This is an interesting sub-study. This is a CT sub-study of Partner 3 where they wanted to see how much of this subclinical valve thrombosis business there really did occur, how much of it occurred, and how important was it. Your thoughts on that one, Tony? They did a CT study and with HALT. H-A-L-T, I'll let you explain it.
Right, hypoattenuated leaflet thickening, presumably thrombi that form on the leaflets, both TAVR and SAVR. And they compared the two valves, which were more or less similar. This was a CT study.
Right.
They looked at outcome at the end of a year, which was kind of interesting. And the data were a bit complex in that some people who didn't have HALT at 3 months had it at 1 year. Some people who didn't have it developed, who had it, lost it and whatnot. But the bottom line, Peter, was that at the end of a year, the clinical events really were no different in those patients who had HALT and those patients who didn't.
So one of the things that are interesting about this study was that there are some patients who had, you know, leaflet thickening at 2 months, and then 3 months later it disappeared, and it was sort of unclear how all that happened. And also, you talked a little bit, or should talk a little bit about the anticoagulation. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it would appear that the anticoagulation was not always effective in these patients, and it's been the hope in the past that just giving anticoagulation to the HALT patients should result in resolution.
Yeah, but you know, if you had thrombosis on your valve, you'd probably want anticoagulation, but it didn't seem to make an awful lot of difference in this. It's a funny trial, funny data, but the short version is it doesn't seem clinically to make much difference.
Doesn't seem to make much difference, so that we've been very concerned about it. It's probably been happening with surgical valves for years and years. Yeah. No one did CTs.
But now it's documented in surgical valves.
Now it's documented.
So lastly, we have the mitral valve and valve study. This is a registry, Tony, not a randomized trial of patients who had previous mitral valve surgery, mostly rings, I would guess, and now are having a transcatheter valve. Your thoughts on this one? This was compared to SDS score, sort of a funny way of comparing it to surgery.
Was not a randomized controlled trial, but nevertheless was very encouraging. They were able to do valve-in-valve in the vast majority of patients, low incidence of adverse effects, good hemodynamic performance, and good clinical results at the end of the year. So that's all very encouraging. The fact that those patients did better than would have been anticipated by their STS score is kind of icing on the cake, but the real test will be putting them up against a surgical redo cohort.
Surgical redo cohorts in patients who have failed a mitral surgery in the past is not a great operation.
Tough sledding, no question about it.
Yeah, I'll bet on the transcatheter valve on that one.
Yeah, I would say based on those data at this point in time, if I needed a redo mitral valve, I'd go the valve-in-valve route.
So there you have it. That's day two.